I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Isn't that fabulous? I just really, really love this song. And that song is by True Trinity, a wonderful group who met at a POSI conference. POSI is positive music. And they met there a couple of years ago and started creating fabulous music together. You can find them. Before I introduce me, I'm going to just keep going with them. You can find them on TrueTrinity.com, where you can listen to the song and you can purchase it for all of $1. And then you can have the entire song and not just this little blip that we have at the beginning and the end of the show. So welcome to Purpose Talk Radio. This is Jan Revell, and I'm delighted to have you with me today on this beginning of June. Can you believe it? We're already going into the sixth month of the year. That is just so amazing. So Purpose Talk Radio is radio with a purpose, a soul purpose, as you know, and I'm glad to have you with us today. We have a very special guest. Andrew Crafter is with us today to talk about gardening, to talk about bees, to talk about earth, our Earth Month, and how each of us can do our part in nurturing and nurturing our Earth Mother and shepherding the resources that we have here on this earth. So I'm Jan Revell, and you can contact me at jan@purposetalkradio.com. If you go to purposetalkradio.com, you'll find that there is information about each of our guests under the guest tab. And you can find out about upcoming guests, although I have to say that today they're not up there yet. But I'm really, really excited to announce that beginning next week, we have a 13-week series on feminine spiritual trailblazers. These are 26 women, that, or 24 women actually, that I have interviewed. And we're creating a book out of this in these interviews. And so I'm getting all of them onto the show so we can talk a little bit more and introduce them to you and you to them. So that begins next week on the show. On purposetalkradio.com, you can also find a link where you can donate towards the overhead of the show if you would like. And you can also sponsor the show, which means that you get your name and business name and a blurb about you at the beginning and the ending of every show. You get on our website, you get on our Facebook page, you get in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group. I mean, it's just amazing for very, very little money. So look at that and contact me, jan@purposetalkradio.com, and we'll talk more about that. So I want to remind you that we have the Facebook Conversations group, and I'd like to invite you to go there to have conversations during and after our show, and usually in the meantime, during the week in between as well. And that, so you go to Facebook and do a search for Purpose Talk Radio Conversations and ask to join the group. And Cindy will make sure that you get into the group so you can join those conversations. Cindy Freeman is my wonderful, wonderful facilitator for the show. And she's also one of the group of the True Trinity. True Trinity is made up of Cindy Freeman and Jillian Clark and Rachel Martinez. So there you go for that. I want to let you know about the card for today. It seems like I might be missing something because I didn't get my cheat sheet going. So there we go. You know, I'll just have to run with it as we go along. So today, the card is called, very appropriately, A Bunch of Flowers. And it shows flowers, really some very showy flowers, as well as a very simple one, but very showy flowers, and they're all in full bloom. They're just luscious looking and really full of juice and vitality. And in the lower corner is Sun Gemini. And I gave Cindy the link for this website that I found talking about Gemini, but I'll tell it to you too if you go to astrology.com. and then you look for the Gemini sun sign of the zodiac signs, and it talks about Gemini. Gemini is the third sign of the zodiac, and Geminis love to talk. Huh, isn't that interesting? And the driving force behind a Gemini's conversation is their mind. They're intellectually inclined. So be aware, if you're around a Gemini, you better be ready to have them search and ask questions, and they're quick-witted, and they've got a mix of yin and yang, so they're represented by the twins, because they can see both sides of an issue, which is really great. But the negative to that is they can be kind of wishy-washy, changing their mood on a simple whim, so you got to be careful about that. It's interesting, they're characteristics of the various signs. There's the cardinal sign, cardinal characteristic, the fixed, and the mutable. These are qualities. And the Gemini has a mutable quality, which means they're flexible and can go with the flow, that they're adaptable and dexterous. They can tackle many things at once. And I tell you what, Cindy, are you a Gemini? Because Cindy is a multitasker like you would not believe. I can only do one thing at a time, but she can multitask like crazy. So here it says, the downside of such a curious mind, however, can be a lack of follow-through. Well, we all have our downsides, don't we? No matter what sign we are. So let's get on with it. The card shows all of these luscious, vital, juicy flowers. There's a dandelions in there. How about that? And it looks like there's some, I don't even know, there's and there's, I think it's a peony. See, I don't know enough about my flowers. It's a good thing we've got Andrew on today. And then there's this lovely white flower that's very simple. It's not a jasmine, which we've had in the past, but it's very similar. It's got six petals. And it's just very simple and white, towering kind of a standing behind and above the others. So anyway, remember that. Our earth is filled with abundance. And when we bring care and awareness to what we do in the things that we grow, in the foods that we eat, and in everything we do in our life, then we are fertilizing those ideas and those foods and those flowers that we have planted. And the result is vital, juicy, gorgeous flowers. So plant your flowers, both in the garden and in your life. Make sure that you give care to them and that you bring nurturing ideas to them, and you will, by all means, create something that is amazing and wonderful. Okay, so I'm going to bring Andrew into the show right now, and we're going to get started talking about all of this. Hey, Andrew, how are you today?
I am doing absolutely blissful right now. Thank you so much for having me. This is an absolutely wonderful experience that I'm able to partake in and share what I know with you all. And I wanted to begin with a quote, if you don't mind.
Great.
All right, sounds good. And it's from the Dalai Lama. We can never obtain peace in the outer world until we make peace with ourselves. And this really resonated with me this morning. I browsed across it actually on the internet preparing for this, and it was just resonating in my heart, and that's how I was feeling this morning, and I wanted to express that to everyone, that we truly do need to love ourselves in order to partake in this magical, mystical experience here on Earth.
That's wonderful.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, the trees and the birds and all the other microorganisms, and especially my bees at the moment, I'm observing them work this inconspicuous flower of the whorehound, and it's just an absolutely magnificent sight to see, and I'm sharing all the energy of Mother Earth, all the plant tree kingdom, and all that is with everyone.
All right.
We are all emotionally, physically, mentally equal. We share similar needs, the same needs. water, air, love, that home, that sacred spot. I'm going to begin talking about my birth. As you know, germination is a huge part of farming, that birthing process. I'm going to begin talking about my journey as a youngster and my development of who I am right now. I was a youngster growing up here in the Verde Valley, really connecting with the earth, mainly the clay. That was truly the one that resonated, the energy, the frequency, the vibration, the energy that really made my heart sing when I was young. I connected and was able to relate to the clay earth, that heart of Mother Earth. And the clay is such a unique energy. When I was young, I saw that clay as not a nuisance. You know, when I was young, I believed that others just saw it as a nuisance and were not utilizing that beautiful energy that existed beneath our feet and was us and is us. So clay is just such a beautiful soil, a living substance, always undergoing change, always loving, always bearing. Clay is balancing in medicine after it absorbs. It is used in my life as a tool for healing. Clay stimulates my body, wakes up my cells, my atoms, my vibration, my uniqueness of who I am. It truly just revitalizes that energetic aura of who I am, one with the universe.
That's awesome. Well, Andrew, before we get any further, I need to back up for just a minute and let everybody know. I need to let everybody know that I've drawn extra cards today. So if anybody would like a reading following the interview, you can call in. And also, if you would like to speak with Andrew or me, call in to 347-205-9074. I'll repeat it, 347-205-9074. So if you have a question for Andrew, be sure to call in, and we'll make sure we get you on the air with him. So, Andrew, that's how you got started. But I was talking to somebody the other day who said that he has a very small area beside his house, against the one wall of his house, and he would like to do something with it to provide food. He likes to he's living as efficiently as possible, the small footprint on the earth as possible, or carbon footprint. And he'd like to know more about what he can do to create that space into something that provides food for his family in an earth-friendly way. Do you have some ideas? I know you do.
Yeah,
so that's a silly question.
That is absolutely wonderful. And I'm sending my love. That's definitely a start to put out the intention, which he is doing. He's putting that intention out to the universe. He's sending his love out. So that is definitely step one, is to love yourself and to accept the moment and accept where you are at in your life. And what is resonating in me now is water, as we are some 70, maybe 80% water beings controlled by the moon. That water is essential to the plants and the trees. So that would be definitely the next step that I would personally take in establishing a small garden, is consider where you are going to get your water. Is it going to be from the rain, from earth? Is it going to be from your faucet? Is it going to be a drip irrigation? And that is definitely a wonderful foundation to put out your intention and to acquire water. Most people tend to use their faucet and utilize what they have, which is exactly what we need to do. We need to utilize what we have here now. The next step would definitely be the soil. The soil biology is essential to healthy, vital plants that will sustain and won't be susceptible to disease or pathogens or other imbalances in that system. So the soil is definitely the crucial one to focus your energy on. And this year especially would be the first year for him, first generation or her, would be to create a healthy biology in the soil. So what I mean is prepare the soil by doing cover crops or by making compost or by utilizing the power, the energy of the earthworm to create a stable soil or a more balanced soil for the life forces in the plant to utilize. The soil is, I think of it as the stomach for the plants and the trees. You have to have that energy in there for the plants to uptake the energy. So working on the soil is crucial.
So does that mean checking the pH on it as well? Or I'm pretty ignorant when it comes to gardening, Andrew. I have to tell you that.
My suggestion would be to utilize the power of the earthworm. The earthworm is a magnificent creature here, magnificent energy that is able to balance the pH of the soil, and it produces what is called humus or humic acid and humic acids. And that is a balanced pH that will be wonderful for across the spectrum plant growth. It will. They are absolutely phenomenal. A good example would be if you had a fruit tree that was not producing, you could slowly or maybe with acceleration introduce earthworms into that soil so that they could begin doing their processes, which they're basically bacterial tubes. So they're creating this bacteria, this life in the soil that your plants will then be able to utilize their excretions and whatnot. So when you put this earthworm into that soil, that wounded soil that the fruit tree was struggling in, essentially, that earthworm will actually balance out that soil and create a soil that the fruit tree will then be able to communicate with and produce once again a bounty of fruit.
Well, how long does something like that take?
Creating compost using earthworms for a small garden plot is going to take probably half a year. So you want to give yourself, my suggestion to anyone who is just beginning with gardening, if you're not into just throwing something in the ground and hoping it turns out the way that the universe will make it turn out, you can prepare your soil and kind of prepare yourself so that you do not have to deal with a plant that is dealing with a lot of aphids, for example. When plant systems are susceptible, it is largely due to the soil beneath them. So the soil is a huge driving factor. If you have a healthy biology with a wide diversity, you have nematodes, you have earthworms, you have bacteria and fungus and all of these mycorrhizal fungus and all of these other organisms in the soil that you're building essentially over time, that is what is going to be feeding your plant systems. Nowadays, most people want to have that easy formula, that easy way out of doing what nature does. So they choose to go down to the market and purchase some fertilizers, which is industrial agriculture, and spray fertilizers onto the field so that these plants can uptake these nutrients. And the reason why in industrial agriculture they have to do this is because there is no essentially biology or energy in that soil. Because as we know, when we take something away, we're taking that energy away from that system. So we have to replace that energy. A good example is trying to establish a method for yourself of no-till, where you actually are, say, an annual plant, you're actually cutting that annual plant, or even perennial, it doesn't really matter, and you're letting those systems below the earth that we are unable to see with the physical eye, the root structure, the mycorrhizal fungi attached to it, and so forth. We're allowing that to decay and revitalize the soil, providing nutrients once again for the biology of the soil to continue its building process.
Well, Andrew, if somebody wanted to have a garden this year, you know, they're just starting and they want to have a garden this year and they don't have 6 months to wait to create good organic.
Own, yeah.
Yeah. So what can they do there?
When you're in that situation, you strive to find the most eco-friendly compost product. It's my personal choice. A compost that is not just, you know, a couple things. It's a wide diversity of organisms interacting with each other. So finding a compost that is loved, essentially. Finding a composter that provides, knowing that what you put in is what you will get out.
Okay,
and
so
that's easier to say than to do nowadays for me, but to find one, to just go out into the commerce and locate such a soil, it is difficult. That's why we have to be aware of that diversity of biology in the soil, and we have to be striving to obtain a soil with such properties.
So if I wanted to start a garden, let's just say I wanted to start a garden this year, and I didn't know where to get that kind of good soil or nutrients to soil, would I be better off just planting in pots for this year while I create a mulch pile and get the mulch going for next year?
Ideally, if you're going to say, let's say you have a, because most people nowadays can relate to grass lawns, so I'm going to use that example. If you had a grass lawn that you envision much more out of it than just that grass, that single monocrop species.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then my suggestion would be to directly begin to apply organic matter to the top of that lawn. Because when you build soil from the ground on up.
Okay.
So when we look at industrial agriculture, we're not doing that. We're tilling always, and we're interrupting that cycle of what nature, Mother Earth, does. Is building from the ground up. So my suggestion would be to layer on compost and layer on manures, dried manures, aged manures, to layer on grass clippings. You can even leave your grass down and cover your grass. Sometimes people choose to do in permaculture what is called sheet mulching, where they take cardboard, which will actually retard that growth of weeds in your yard for the first year while you are establishing that biology.
Uh-huh.
So that would be my suggestion, is to begin to start applying as much of that material, which it all depends on what you're shooting for, which in this case, it's a vegetable garden. So with that, all you really have to do is, you know, the manures and the straws and the other compost teas to build that biology, adding earthworms and other microorganisms to the soil to build it. And many of those things are available online. They can be ordered online. I personally have never done this, but I know many people are ordering organisms like mycorrhizal fungi, a fungus that is essential to the growth of fruit trees. And from my understanding, so many, if not all, plants and trees on this planet have that communication, have that relationship with this mycorrhizal fungi. So you could purchase mycorrhizal fungi and apply that with your seed as well. So there's so many. It is unlimited, but it is limited to what we can imagine, because Mother Earth is so diverse and is so complex in her being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you talk to me, well, first of all, I'm going to say some of this, you're obviously, our listeners are going to be a wide range of people who don't have much gardening knowledge, all the way to those who have, like you, lots of gardening knowledge, and you're talking clearly to them. But for some, those of us who are new to gardening, would you be willing to give us like 10 steps to a decent garden or something that we can post on the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group?
Oh, yes. Would you,
okay,
would you like me to derive this right now or in the, after
if you
the
want
show
to,
in the future,
well,
or what would work
one
best?
Well, either one. If
okay,
you can think
maybe
of
I
it,
can,
if you can think
yeah
of it while chatting, and we can do that in a little bit. Go ahead, and then we can go ahead and be able to give that to our listeners, and then also we can post it in the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group as a
all
written
right
idea.
Yeah, that would be
okay,
that would be lovely. Thank you for
awesome
the idea.
Awesome.
That is a nice guide, a nice tool to have when you are getting, when you are exploring, you know, getting into unexplored terrain.
Right.
You know, we are all one. We all know this. It is in our hearts. It is in our DNA. We just have to remember that. And that has a lot to do with the trust in yourself and believing that the choices that you are making are the correct choices. You can't doubt yourself in your seeds and in your planting, in your being. You have to accept it and continue with that life lesson. So
okay,
I'm going to talk about whatever really comes to me. And if you feel like you need to interrupt, please interrupt, because I might just be spewing out my energy. So you can control me a little bit, Jan.
Okay, well, I do have a question. Cindy has,
yeah,
has sent me a question about a compost site. Do you set up a compost site in a container or directly in the ground where you'll be setting the, where you'll be creating your garden?
And, number two,
and,
option two,
okay,
would be the
okay
deal. So you want to compost wherever you desire, wherever you envision that new bed to be. Because
okay
a lot of the compost is actually, a lot of those soluble nutrients that are becoming available in the compost tend to leach out when you add water to your compost. So when they leach out into your bed, it's okay.
Okay. And then another question she had is, was what is best to put into a compost now or not put into it? And I think that both of those, the what to and what not to, are equally important.
What is coming to me right now, what not to put in? I have some chickens, and I absolutely adore my chickens. And you wouldn't want to put the raw eggs into your compost. You wouldn't want to put the dairy products, the meat products, any product that is going to go foul, putrefy, stink
uh-huh
up the space. Those are things that you want to stay away from in your compost. Other things that you could apply to your compost would be things like vegetable scraps and grass clippings and straw. And really what a lot of people nowadays are going by is the carbon to the nitrogen.
Carbon
really
to nitrogen.
That, the carbon to nitrogen. And they usually go either from 1-to-1, whether it be the carbon 1, nitrogen 1, or a 1-to-2, carbon 1, nitrogen 2. And that is something that you experience and you remember as you do the compost, as you are involved and engaged in the compost process.
Okay, so
there
explain,
are so many.
Explain carbon to nitrogen a little bit more, please.
Okay.
You know, I know that it's 1-to-1 or 1-to-2, but how can you tell with the correct amount in there.
So anything that is carbon is going to be brown. That's a sure sign that you have a lot of carbon in your matter that you're putting into your compost. If the material is green, then you're going to be receiving much nitrogen from that.
Okay.
You're also going to be receiving carbon as well, as we are all carbon life forms. But
yeah,
that is kind of the way that the tool that has been here to guide us in our compost. We know compost. We all are wonderful compost makers. Ideally, the ultimate composter is the earthworm. The earthworm, to me, is the composter, the fertilizer, the tiller, essentially, because in agriculture, in industrial agriculture, we till the fields. In nature, in Mother Earth, we have this earthworm. We have all of these diverse earthworms aerating the soil, providing nutrients for the plant systems, and doing much more. So
well, now,
the earthworm is definitely one to incorporate into your compost.
Yeah. And you can buy earthworms and bring them home, right, if you don't have a source right close.
Yes.
Okay.
And everyone would definitely probably be satisfied here in the Southwest with the red wiggler worm. That is the manure worm that feeds on cow, on horse manure, cow manure, really any aged manure that you feed it, it will devour. So that is definitely a good one to
incorporate into. In the Pacific Northwest, slugs did that, but they didn't aerate the earth. They just ate the poop.
Yeah, totally.
So we've got a whole, obviously, in the United States, a wide variety of diversity, biodiversity going on. Are there any standards? What you're talking about is a fairly standard all the way across the board?
Standard, I don't know if I'm understanding that clearly.
Well, I mean, a standard solution.
Exactly.
So,
a standard solution for creating soil? Or?
Yeah. Yes.
I would not say that there is a standard solution for myself. Maybe there is in the scientific community. They have, like at universities and such, they might have a standard formula that you could look up on the internet that would say you need to do this in, you know, two parts and this in two parts and this in two parts, and give you a formula to help guide you to remembering the compost within. So, yes, online.
Okay. Or is it better to
online,
go to a garden store and talk with somebody in your area?
That would be wonderful as well. As we all are teachers, we all have so much to share. I have learned a great deal just going down to Cornville Gardens and speaking with those who work there and have gained so much just from a short period of time. So yes, that is an absolutely wonderful idea to make yourself vulnerable, get out there and start talking to people about it. Make dialogue, because that is truly what we need right now, is we need to talk about this sort of stuff and get it out on the table, because it is all inside of us. We just need to bring it out to the table and be sharing it with everyone. And that is largely a part of communication with others at those sites, at those gardens and whatnot.
Okay. Now, Andrew, when you and I were speaking earlier, you were talking about bees and you mentioned them. And I wanted to ask you two things, one about the bees, but can you get a photograph of the bees on your whorehound plant and post it in the group?
Yes, I will. After,
yeah.
We
after
get
the, yes.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to do it in the meet.
I would. I would love to. That would be wonderful.
Yeah. So people can see that. So tell us a little bit about bees. I know this has become a passion with you. So let's talk about that a little bit. How did you figure this out? How did this become a passion for you?
I would love to talk about this right this moment. but something else came to me about the whole carbon-nitrogen ratio that I was speaking of a moment ago, and I just wanted to share that before it slipped past my thought processes.
Absolutely.
So there's other factors. There's many other factors. You know, the cosmos is a factor. But there's many other factors which influence composting. And some of these factors are very within. You know, we know that moisture is one of those. We know that the bacteria, the earthworms, life needs that water in order to exist. So moisture is a very important factor to your compost. Consistent moisture, you don't want to drown the organisms, but you want to provide them with consistent moisture. The air and air temperature is important. So that's something to consider as well. The pH is also a factor, but that's not one we really have to worry about, because I did share with you all that the earthworm is truly balancing out the pH. It's a wonderful being, so integrate it.
And the earthworm likes this mud that we have here?
There are some native earthworms I have dug up, and the red wiggler does integrate well into the being, into the heart of Mother, if you provide her with that environment. Because as we all know, we all have needs that need to be met. The earthworm does as well. It needs air. The earthworm needs moisture. The earthworm needs a steady food source, bacteria, which is small pieces of matter that it's intaking with sand and such. So, yes. There's all these needs that we do have to consider here when we're going into this realm.
Okay. All right. I'm going to take, Andrew, I'm going to take just a real quick pause here while we, and then we can go get back to both the earthworms and bees. And I want to let our listeners know you can call in if you have a question for Andrew. Call in at 347-205-9074. That's 347-205-9074. And Andrew, what are you doing?
I am just enjoying the breeze, being in the moment.
Okay. Well, there was some very loud noises. Sounded like you were turning pages.
Oh, I am taking notes.
Okay, good, good. And I want to let our listeners know. Good. Let our listeners know also, if you would like to have a reading, I've chosen some cards, and following the interview, we'll do a reading as well. So let's get back to talking about the earthworm and the bees. Go for it, Andrew.
All right. I'm going to just real quickly wrap up on that composting with the earthworm and just share one more thing about that with you all that will help you on your journey to becoming a composter. And remembering your composting position. Ripping up all of your matter is so essential at the beginning of your composting. So before you compost all of your material, try to break it up as much as possible. And what that's doing is increasing the surface area of your matter, allowing for more bacteria, more fungus, more microorganisms to act on that material. So that's just something I wanted to share and let you all internalize.
Well, that brings up a couple of questions that I have. Number one is shredding paper, just regular paper. Can you use paper in your composting pile, or are there things in paper that are not good for it? And the other question is, I used to have a Vitamix, and one of the things that they talked about was getting an extra pot, you know, container for it, that you could simply take all of your vegetables and fruits and everything and put some water in and blend them up, and you would have a compost tea.
Yes.
So what about those?
Yes, let's go with both of them. They're absolutely wonderful ideas and should be utilized if you have the means to do so. Don't go out of your way to, you know, go buy a Vitamix.
Right.
Go and, you know, because then you're just having to expend more energy than you need to. If you have an old blender sitting around, it is an absolutely phenomenal way of breaking up that plant matter to increase the surface area, and it will work phenomenally, and it will accelerate the process of composting tenfold.
Okay.
So that is just wonderful that you mentioned that. Thank you.
My pleasure. And what about paper? Can you use newspaper as well, or what kind of papers have bad things in them versus good things?
Personally, the energy of paper and the energy of newspaper hasn't set well in my being. I have been open to using cardboard, as it is a good source of nitrogen for the earthworms and microorganisms. But yes, I have never utilized paper that has the leeches and has other chemicals that could potentially be harmful for the earth. So I personally would not do that because garbage in, garbage out.
Right. Although I do remember I had a garden with raised beds one time, and we put newspapers down between the beds and then put grass clippings over that to hold the weeds down. So we didn't really use it as a mulch as much as we did a ground cover to keep the weeds between the beds open.
Totally. And I have heard of many people utilizing that. And personally myself, that hasn't resonated in me to use the newspaper, but I assume if it is a good source soy-based product, even though now soy is very shaky considering the genetic modification influence. So in that sense, I'm kind of feeling a little eerie about utilizing a newspaper that did use a soy-based ink. So
I'm just getting
that feeling in my heart that it's not, for me, the right thing to do now.
Yeah, I get that sense, too, since things have changed so much.
It is a wonderful way to mulch, and that is something that I am remembering, as we all are, is the importance for mulch. Mother Earth tells us this all the time, especially here in the desert Southwest. We are in an ecosystem that is very wounded, and if we did not have that bacterial crust that we have all over the desert floors that is degrading when human beings and other animals crush it, that crust is why we here in this area are not like the Sahara Desert. So we are a depressed ecosystem. So mulching is absolutely essential, especially considering the factor of the sun. Sunlight is so important. We are light beings. The plant systems photosynthesize the light. They are light beings as well. So the sunlight is absolutely essential to their continuation. And the mulch, what it does is it allows the plant systems to hold in their stomachs, in the heart of Mother Earth, more moisture. It's like the mulch is like an evaporative cooler on Mother Earth, always cooling her down, always providing that protection from the capillary pulling, which is the force, the pulling from the sun energy, which is pulling all essentially moisture up out of us, out of the plant and tree kingdoms. That's transevaporation, and we expire transpiration. We have this capillary pulling always during the day, just sucking that water out of us. So mulch is essential here in the desert. And I wanted to mention that since you brought it up with the the paper and the grass clippings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what I heard back at the time was that if you use just the black and white print, then it was kind of okay, but not to use the colored print because of the dyes that are in it. But what you're saying about the soy ink makes me think I don't want to use newspapers anymore.
Yes, and that is what resonates in you.
Yeah.
Our minds are everything. So when we believe something, yeah, we're going to integrate that. When we believe that we're degrading, we degrade. When we believe we are healthy and functioning and vital, we are that. And we express that. So yes, it is your personal choice. But what resonates in me is to not use that soy-based ink, which is the black and white.
Yeah, right. So let's move over to bees. Tell us more about bees.
All right. Bees are an absolutely fabulous creature that I have been connecting with and spending much of my time with, because the bees are here to teach us so much. Just the queen bee herself as the goddess is sharing with us so much light and so much wisdom so that we can live our lives of becoming who we truly are. And the bees have really shared that with me, and they are in the industrial system essential to the continuation of the system that we are embedded in. So the bees is it pulls up a lot of emotions. The bees are so close to the plants, the flowering plants, and that relationship that they have with each other is the relationship we have with ourselves, with Mother Earth, with all existence here. So they are just such a powerful tool, and I'm doing my best to open them up to the younger generations, because as we know, the industrial food system is entirely dependent on the honeybee, the industrial honeybee, that is, for pollination.
Now, Andrew, I just heard something the other day that, I don't know who it was, but exterminated a bunch of, what did they call it, Monsanto-resistant honeybees.
Yes. And
so,
what did you gain from that? What did you learn from that, Jen?
Well, not a whole lot, except it was kind of scary to think about it. I mean, why are they exterminating them? And
so,
maybe it's just that if they can't deal with Monsanto products, then it's going to kill them anyway. Or am I wrong on that?
Monsanto products, Syngenta products, DuPont products, any chemicals, any imbalances that they are causing on the honeybee is causing much havoc in their lives. What I know so much about bees and their relation to the environment. So is there a question maybe that you could ask me to better clarify what you're trying to express to me now or ask me now?
Well, in this case, I don't understand if Monsanto, I mean, we know these are genetically modified products, and were they basically quote unquote exterminated because they couldn't deal with the Monsanto products and that killed them, or did somebody exterminate them and why?
I don't know if I am familiar with that specific case study that you're speaking of, or
right,
if it is general. But nowadays, most people have heard the term CCD, which to me resonates with the overworking, the over imbalancing, the overstressing of the bees as a species. So there's so many different factors that come into play that influence the bee. Okay, when it comes to speaking about the industrial honeybee and its place now and what it is feeling now, colony collapse disorder is around, and that is the overstress in the bee causing the collapse of the bee, and that is due to so many things, from the neonicotinoids, the chemicals, to the migratory stress that is put on the bees from having them transported from Florida all the way over to California and so forth, and all of these other overworking stresses on the bees that are causing the industrial bee to collapse alongside with agriculture, the industrial mechanized agriculture that we see today. So there's so many different factors that are coming into play that we cannot say that it is just Monsanto's chemical that has okay. a very large contributing part, but it is not the sole contributor.
So what can we do as individual gardeners to encourage bees and their health?
Yes, we can. So what is occurring in the moment is the industrial honeybee is collapsing before our eyes. Last year we had some 50% of colonies collapse, and after 50% we're going to see an acceleration in the decline. So yes, we can do what we can do by beginning to keep bees ourselves. If we had some 1 million people keeping one beehive each, that would make a huge difference now. So we need to begin to be bee stewards, to begin to build relationships with the honeybee if we desire to pursue this method of agriculture. So if we desire to plant fruit trees and flowering plants such as horehound, it is wonderful to have that relationship to preserve that being, the honeybee. So providing them with as much nectar as you possibly can is absolutely essential to their expansion, to their survivability as a species. A good plant that is one that as many people as possible should be planting is Hyssop officinalis, and it's a plant that just produces so much nectar for the bees. So us providing the bees with as much food sources as we possibly can is essential.
Okay. What is the plant again? Is it Hyssop officinalis, did you say?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And that's just one of the many mint, the whole mint family is, and people are always into planting the mint family. So any of the mint family, I'm here
okay.
with the horehound, as you all know. So the mint family is just absolutely wonderful.
Okay, so people who are not in a position to be able to have honeybees around or to have a beehive around, is this becoming more a stronger industry? I mean, it used to be that there were a lot of beekeepers around whenever you have an orchard, you've got people who bring in bees, you know, and when it's springtime. So is this something that's becoming bigger? Do
yes,
organic farmers need to create more of this or what?
Yes, totally. We do have to acknowledge, we do have to appreciate, we do have to honor all of the indigenous pollinators that are here with us, that coexist with us. But myself, what truly resonates now in me is the honeybee. Because mm-hmm. I see the industrial system. I am a farmer. I see the industrial system collapsing. I see that bee collapsing. So I will do all that I can to save her.
Mm-hmm.
And what we can do, we actually have a website that I'm going to give everyone now if they have a pen and pencil or they can just remember it. It is top-bar-beehives.com.
Okay.
And that is a new resource that is available for the public. It is a compilation of resources that we are ever building. So it is going to be a wonderful resource for new beekeepers coming up next spring and thereafter. It is going to be a great resource for them to answer questions they might have that are otherwise unanswered, or to share experiences with us and with Mother Earth and with the bees, the honeybees, and to really build a relationship with the honeybee, because that is what we need.
Yeah. Now, do honeybees sting?
That's great that you mentioned that. Honeybees are so docile, but yes, they do sting. So there are certain bees, it all depends, as we know, we are all chemically different. So when you deal with bees, you're going to have different temperaments when you're dealing with different energies.
Mm-hmm.
One beehive could be more aggressive than another beehive. Therefore, they might have the tendency to sting a little bit more, or maybe it will sting and the other docile, tame, hygienic hive won't.
Okay. But if you're just walking around in a honeybee's not going to come up and sting you like a yellow jacket would, for instance.
No. So most of the stings are yellow jackets.
Uh-huh.
The honeybee is doing her thing. She is ever loving. She is ever bearing. She's not there to sting us. We are stung when we assert our power, our control over them. We try to manipulate mm-hmm. them. We don't try to build, or we don't build a relationship with them. When they
uh-huh.
are stinging us, that is way beyond what they should be doing, because truly they will come up and they will bounce off your head, or they will bounce off your neck, and they will warn you. They will
uh-huh.
say, breathe, calm
uh-huh.
down.
Yeah.
So they are so, the sting is very predictable when it comes to bees. You will be able to feel their energy and feel that sting coming on. And why is it coming on? It's probably because you're thinking about stealing some of their honey.
Ah. So when you have your own beehive and you want to go get the honey, you definitely need to have that outfit, the beekeeper's outfit, huh?
It is suggested, and I have worked with Patrick Pines, and I continue to build a relationship with Patrick Pines. We as a collective here in Sedona, Arizona, he is a wonderful beekeeper, and he has been beekeeping here in northern Arizona for quite some time. He's a sustainable beekeeper and natural gardener, a wonderful person. And yes, it is about just building that relationship with mm-hmm. the bee and not going into it with the intention to manipulate, with the intention to steal the honey, with the intention to control who they are.
Yeah.
You have to build that relationship with them.
Okay. I remember house sitting at a place where there was an orchard, a cherry orchard in Washington, northern Washington. And it was in springtime, so they brought the bees in to the orchard. And we would walk through the orchard in the afternoon or evening, and the sound was absolutely deafening. It was so loud with all of the bees, and not one of them paid any attention to us walking through the church. They had no time for us. They were busy.
Yes, they are so busy, and they share with us that power. You know, we are so powerful if we act on that power. They're always acting. You know, the bees are always visiting this far and that far and this far and that far and collecting pollen and doing such magnificent things. And they just teach us to keep going, keep flowing that path of least resistance.
All right.
They are, I just wanted to share with you, they are like water. They followed the path of least resistance, and they share that with us and help to reinforce that within our beings, that we need to do the same.
Yeah, okay. Well, Andrew, tell me, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you would like to touch on to make sure that we get all those things we want to talk to people about?
I have so many things coming to me right now that whenever you believe that you are finished questioning at least the questions that have come to you, I can just go ahead and start spewing out what I believe I need to share with you today, what I know I need to share with everyone today.
Well, I don't really have any other questions, and we don't have any callers at the moment, so I want to make sure that you have addressed what you feel is necessary. And Cindy, hold on. Cindy just sent me a question. What is the best way to replace GMO foods? And she left it partway undone, so we'll go with that. If we're living in a city and or we're creating our own garden now, what should we plant, and how can we avoid GMO foods? You know?
Yes, absolutely. Organic, biodynamically farmed produce, chemical-free produce is what you need to be acquiring. And that is largely conductive on your ability to go out and communicate with other people, to go out and find CSAs, community-supported agriculture. Here in the Verde Valley at Spring Creek Ranch, we will be this year starting up a CSA, a community-supported agriculture, for families that do desire to connect more with our source, to integrate Mother Earth into our being, to eat crops that are open-pollinated, that are non-hybrid, that are organically or biodynamically farmed, without the application of fertilizers, with the application of love. So that is an option at CSA, Community Supported Agriculture. Also, nowadays, farmers markets are just accelerating all over the United States. I see them popping up everywhere, and farmers markets are an absolutely wonderful way to go and begin to build a closer, a more intimate relationship with the food that you are consuming and becoming.
So if I went to a farmer's market in some other part of the country, then I would probably be able to find out what are the best plants for that part of the country. Is that right? Would that be a good source?
Exactly. One thing that I do want to mention now that you say that is that when you do go to farmer's markets, don't go into it. Yes, you have to go into it with trust, but go into it with awareness. Don't just believe everything that comes out of people's mouths, because there is a lot of talk going on, and I am doing as much talk as I possibly can, but what truly matters is that we act on what we speak, what we feel, what we believe. So go and talk to those people. Question those people. Is your produce chemical-free? What is your relationship with your plants that you are growing? Do you
spray? And if they look at you and go, yeah. If they look at you and they go, huh? Then you want to go to somebody else.
Yeah. you will know, you will get that energy, that feeling inside, and you'll be able to act on that joy that you find, or maybe not.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Andrew, if somebody wanted to ask some questions, how would they get a hold of you? You mentioned the top-bar-beehives.com, but
yes.
What about gardening?
Our,
do you have other websites or email?
We have here in Sedona, Arizona, a natural living collective and a woodworking studio, and that is housemountain.org. O-R-G. And
okay.
We focus on providing this area, the region beyond, with natural alternatives to toxic means of living. Essentially, we provide local and regionally sourced products that are eco-friendly, that are intentionally made, that are loved. Essentially, we're a collective of craftsmen who create functional, intentional art that is in tune with Mother Earth.
Okay, great. So if somebody has a personal question for you, can they contact you on Facebook or on email?
Yeah.
Or okay?
Whatever suits the individual most, that's whatever resonates in them, that is what they should be acting on. So if they feel like they need to email, that is fine. If they feel like they need to contact me via Facebook messaging, that is okay as well.
Okay,
I'm open to communication.
Can you give us an email address, please?
All right. It is arc511992@hotmail.com. And all
okay.
that truly is, yeah, I think everyone got that. Enough said
okay.
with the email.
Well, I'm going to post it on the Purpose Talk Radio Conversations group. So if you want to go, anybody wants to go there, you can find it there as well. Hey.
Do we have time for me to express what I desire to express
yes.
today? Are we
sure.
kind of limited on time? I'm just curious.
Well, we have some time left over, so go ahead.
Okay, cool.
Or I should say we have time left still.
Yes. If time is infinite. I just wanted to share many, many things with you, which truly all just resonates in unconditional love, that we must have faith, we must have trust in Mother Earth, in that goddess within you, that community, that compassion, all of your love, in all of the organisms that are here, that exist now. Because this is truly your unique journey, and it is no one else's journey. You're just desiring to flow with Mother in all your aspects of life, allowing you to value oneself, honor oneself, respect oneself, become truly just more responsible of oneself. We as a collective, I as an individual, am re-empowering myself, taking back that responsibility, that creation of my health and my happiness, my well-being. And truly, unconditional love to me, that divine love that resonates in your heart, gives oneself the wings to fly, essentially allows you to soar from your nest, to have the freedom, the courage, the clarity, all of that energy in order to find our way. I have a quote that resonates in me, and it is by Albert Einstein. It might be multiple quotes. It might not be exactly how he said it, but it encapsulates all. That knowledge is limited, imagination encircles the world. Your imagination is your preview of life's coming attractions, and Albert Einstein stated that. Another quote that right now is resonating in me is from Bashar. And Bashar says, when you allow all manner of abundance to be equal and equally valid in that manner, then whatever is the way that is the path of least resistance comes to you. So truly just trust yourself, love yourself, know that your decision that you are making is the correct decision. You don't need to know how or the how of cultivation of this magnificent creation the plants and tree kingdoms provide. You just need to truly act on that highest excitement at every single moment of your life. Because that is truly what matters, that you are always acting on that highest joy, that highest excitement that resonates, that vibration that resonates in you, that greatest actual degree of the ability to act on what you're desiring in the moment. Following your highest joy is truly, as Bashar says, organizing and driving your third dimensional experience here on Earth. What you give is what you will get out. So that's the whole garbage in, garbage out. So when we go into this, we have to just free ourselves to express ourselves, to give ourselves honestly, to receive empathetically by just, like I said, emptying your mind and listening from your whole being, your heart, sacred space, as we are all one here in this planet. And I need to touch more because I'm just spewing out, and this is so lovely, and I'm so happy.
Well, excuse me, you just related back to the card for the show of the bunch of flowers and all these gorgeous flowers that because of what we give them and the ideas that we have in ourselves that relate right back to that. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much. So us farmers of the heart, which I am working at two farms in the Verde Valley, one of them being Spring Creek with my buddy Ryan, my close friend, Ryan, and John. John works for Yum Yum Produce. Some of you might be familiar with them. And we are putting all of our energy together and collaborating all that energy, and we are creating and we are developing relationships in harmony with the natural rhythms, with the natural cycles, with these natural forces here on Earth. And now we're beginning to remember the infinity of the cosmos, which is a whole nother absolutely intense energy. Farmers of the heart are truly keeping the world as our sanctuaries, as our orchards, as our gardens, as our sacred spaces, as our heart. For me, the soil, the clay, the earth is Mother Earth's heart. So when you cultivate, you're cultivating her heart. And what are you cultivating her heart with? You're cultivating her heart with all of this power-packed information. These are the seeds. These are your intentions that you are sowing in to germinate, to become a new you. And the seeds are so powerful. That has truly been such a wonderful connection for me to Mother Earth, is the seeds, the power, the embodiment of limitless potential. The seeds are unfolding and unraveling, and this diversity is just expanding in the now. So we, as farmers of the heart, do our best to increase the soil biology so that we, in turn, can increase, because of the plant's vibration increasing, their vital force, their vitality, their nutritional structure is increasing. So in turn, we are accelerating, we are increasing our vibration with them. The trees and the plants, as we know, bless us with the food that nourishes and sustains and builds our bodies. The beauty that we derive inside of us, that balancing state that we are always attempting to balance, that shade that is blessed to us, that is given to us by Mother Earth, by the trees, by the plant kingdoms. That protection, they're so wonderful at protecting us, whether it be your shelter or whether it be a specific plant system just harmonizing in your body energetically and providing the protection to emotionally have courage to filter the air in which we breathe. We are exchanging ever the molecules of carbon and oxygen with the plant system. So we are essentially becoming the plant systems. We are breathing the plant systems. We are the plant system. The clothes that provide, there's so many, that's kind of protection and much more. Clothes is such a big part of culture, I feel, and the medicine that is derived and all of these other beautiful facets of the plant and tree kingdom. I truly, from my heart, appreciate, I respect, I honor the abundance we are blessed with. I truly value my power, my heart's knowing what my heart truly desires in that present moment of now, that present moment of manifestation. Truly being a farmer of the heart means loving oneself, acting on your heart's desires to create, to shift, to shape, to change your reality in this third dimension. I must also acknowledge, because we do need balance in the universe, I must acknowledge my mind. My heart is absolutely beautiful, but my mind, in order to, you know, express what I desire to express right now in words, I am so grateful for my mind allowing myself to do such. I am so grateful for my imagination, because imagination is the most powerful tool that I've resonated with. I give always, every single day I attempt to plant seeds, I give these offerings of Mother Earth, me, myself, to Mother Earth, blessing her, blessing myself every single moment. I give all of this because that is the compassion, that is the kindness, that is the truth, the positive, thoughtful vibrations. All of my intention, all of my attention being put on myself, because I do my best and I do act on my compassion. I am content and just so satisfied and happy right now, because there is all that I need in this very moment. It is truly just overwhelming, the energy and the love and the gratefulness of being human. It's just so powerful, and I'm radiating that out to Mother Earth as I become more aware of who I truly am. My unique journey here becomes truly, to me, more clairvoyant, more clear. I am able to see what is in front of me, not just in my physical eyes.
All right.
Really allowing for that which does not serve your spirit, your soul, your heart, just allowing that energy that isn't serving you to transform, to transmute into something else, another form. Really just being able to, when you go into the garden, when you go into the farm, the orchard, yourself, cherish all that is now about yourself. Cherish all that is what you believe outside of you, which is truly inside of you.
So bringing it all together. So to recognize that we're one with all of that. Andrew, we are going to have to end. So we need to summarize this. And some of what I've heard you say is, again, that as you are cultivating the earth, you are also cultivating your body. as you cultivate your soul, your heart, as you cultivate yourself,
every atom.
And you're putting out energy to the plants. So we need to give the same care to ourselves that as when we take care of the plants and vice versa.
Yeah, and I have a wonderful quote from Barry that I would like to share with you right now.
Okay, we have time for one quote.
One quote. Mm-hmm. They work from the paradigm of divine love, not fear. They feel joy, pain, love, sorrow, desire for rain or sunshine, but do not respond to control, fear, hate, malice, jealousy, violence, or unforgiving nature. And that was from Wisdom of the Earth.
That's beautiful, and it sums it up very nicely. So I'm going to let our audience know that if you want to connect with Andrew, one of the places to do that is at the website www.housemountain.org. Is that right, Andrew?
Yes, that is correct.
And the email is, I'll spell it, A, R as in Robert, C as in Charles, and the number is 511992@hotmail.com. And you can contact me at jan@purposetalkradio.com. I want to remind you again that next week we have the ongoing series. It's a 12 or 13-week series on feminine spiritual trailblazers. And I also want to remind you that tomorrow, Tuesday, at 11:30 Pacific time, that's 2:30 Eastern time, that there is the teleconference for medical advocacy. So make sure you tune in. You can go to the event page on Facebook. You can contact me, jan@purposetalkradio.com, and I will give you more information if you're interested in that event. So I want to wish you all a wonderful week. And for now, I wish you soul blessings. I'll see you next week.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.